Here's the point. Listening is an act of love, and no act of love is ever done in vain. I want to start with a story told by a black man, which is relevant to the story. This is how he tells it. There was a white guy on the couch in 1965 who was watching on the television the march that was attempted across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. He saw the violence and the degradation and the hatred, and it infuriated him. He stood up in his own living room and said, "I have to do something. I'm going down there." And then, almost as immediately as he said it, he sat back down because he was in New Jersey and Alabama was far away. But then, in the next second that followed, he came to this clarity. He was not going to let his inability to do everything to keep him from doing something. And so he decided at that moment to do 1 hour of pro bono work with the fair housing efforts in northern New Jersey. He worked with black families in exposing the segregation that was happening in housing. And one black family that he was representing was denied this particular house. Yet they came to learn that the house was for sale. A white couple had found that the house was still for sale. And so the lawyer put a bid on the house on behalf of the black family. And on the day of the closing, they went there. Well, turns out the white family didn't show up. The volunteer lawyer was there, of course, with the black father. The real estate agent was so furious that he had been exposed in his preferential treatment that he actually punched the white lawyer and sicked the dog on the black man. They left the area. They wrote letters back and forth, the father and the lawyer. Media found out, and the owners were so embarrassed by this action that they decided to sell the house to the black family. This black family was the first to integrate this neighborhood, and this black man who was telling the story grew up there. When I heard this story, I shared it with some others, and I asked people present, where was the miracle in this story? I did have something very specific in mind, something that popped out to me. And indeed, one person spoke up. He said, when the white family didn't show up at the house closing. I said, exactly. Now, why do I call it a miracle? I call it a miracle because we can't control other people's actions. We don't know when the variables will shift and something new and life-changing is actually possible. We don't know. And for the black man telling this story, it was a miracle. This moment changed the trajectory of his life. He grew up with access to good schools and a safe and well-resourced community. Interestingly enough, even after saying all of this, the guy who had said, you know, had identified this moment, said, "I love coincidences like that." Now, what is it about us humans that are so quick to diminish or forget the actions of God in the world? It's been true of all time. We're not the first people to be this way. Something about us is so quick to diminish and forget the actions of God in the world. You see it in our gospel lesson today, when Jesus tells those who ask him to say it clearly, "Are you the Messiah or not?" And Jesus says, "I have said it clearly. I have told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify to me. But you don't believe because you don't belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." I do believe that as we believe and commit ourselves to love, that God is at work. Love, this unexplainable combination of justice and mercy. Indeed, that lawyer worked tirelessly, and finally in 1968, 3 years later, the Fair Housing Act was passed. Love can see us through. Love is the guiding principle, because to only do justice or only do mercy skews the scenario. If we commit ourselves only to do justice, we find often that our ego takes over and we want to see things completed and accomplished and stamped out once and for all and for all and for all. If we commit ourselves to mercy, we often dismiss or ignore people's pain and we say, well, you know, I'm sure it'll get better later. We need love to help us understand this balance. So we commit ourselves to love. That's all Jesus asks us to do. And as we do that, we find that sometimes we promote justice and sometimes we promote mercy. And we remember that every act that is done in love is never done in vain. When we act in love, we are acting in God's modality. When we act in love, we are participating in God's ways in the world. And so we, as his disciples here in this 21st century, wonder, how do we follow where God leads? We must listen to love's call within us, and it often is within us. Not only do we see this in the lawyer in the story I just told, but we see this in the book of Acts. Something made him, Peter, respond when people came to him and said, please come to us without delay. Why did he get up? Why did he decide to reply, to respond with his actions? I dare say that the difference is made when we practice listening. And yes, I mean practice it. I want to ask you to reflect for a second. How often do you practice listening? How do you put yourself in a place of listening? We listen so that we can learn to hear. Isn't this true, choir? We listen so that we can learn to hear. I know you all rehearse so that you can learn to hear. Over and again, phrases and ways that we start to pick up on the differences and we say, oh, that's it. And the more we listen to learn to hear, the quicker we can respond, which is why they always sound so good on Sunday, because they've been practicing listening. I have been practicing listening. I've been listening to a lot of YouTube lately. On Friday, I logged way too many hours, you could say, but I'm finishing a knitting project for our daughter who graduates from college in a week, and there's a lot of work to be done on that sweater, so I needed to keep my butt in the seat and get going. My husband, though, after I told him the numbers of hours that I had listened to YouTube, he said, well, you know, you do have a Catholic YouTube channel list. And by that, he meant with a small c. You know, the word Catholic means universal. And indeed, I do. I listen to a lot of different voices. And the reason I listen to them is because I want to learn how to hear better. I want to learn how to hear better so that I can be in relationship with others and actually love them in the midst of it. One thing that shows up on all channels, it seems, is this pointing out by one side of the hypocrisy of the other. You've heard it, it's exhausting. It's funny though, because I came to remember a scenario in my own parenting with one of my children asked if they could do something, and I said no. And they said, but you let so-and-so do it, one of their siblings. And I said, I know, but just because I made a bad decision once, doesn't mean I have to repeat it. And it's true. Hey, just because I'm inconsistent doesn't mean I'm wrong this time. Just because I am consistent doesn't mean I'm right. We are called to consider with God what world we are trying to build, because life isn't a game. It's a relationship. Jesus is saying, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. What would love have you do in this moment? Perhaps in this moment you failed to respond to love's invitation, and now you want to do better. Everyone gets to change their mind. Everyone gets another chance to do better. Listening is an act of love, and no act of love is ever done in vain. I have one more story to share before I close my sermon on the power of listening as an act of love. When I was on sabbatical in 2023, I decided to take on as one of my practices to read about trauma and trauma response, how to attend to people in trauma. And I did it because that word was everywhere, all over the news. And I started to think, wow, I guess something's going on. I don't even know what it is. I'm going to be in relationship with various tools that are trying to respond in this day and age. And I have found that I now have equipment to share with people who are in traumatic situations. I can even identify them better than I ever could before. And the Lord knows that we are going to have more trauma in the future as a result of what our present moments show us. This became an act of love for me, to listen. How is each of us making time to listen so that each of us can serve? When Jesus was at the Last Supper with his disciples, he had washed their feet, and we read in John's Gospel, chapter 13, after he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had turned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is to fulfill the scripture, the one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. And I tell you this now, Jesus says, before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly, I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." Remember, my friends, we follow our Lord, our teacher, our Savior. Be encouraged. Listening is an act of love, and every act of love is never done in vain. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen.